It's the Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980. You can also listen to us on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Final hour of me for the week. Again, I got something I got to tend to, so I'll be out the rest of this week and much of next week as well. You'll be in good hands. Lynnell Willingham, Doc Walker, and the crew will have us covered, so make sure you are locked into them. I don't know whether they do pick six. Anthony, when I'm gone and, like, there's training camp, will you do a pick six at six? Will Doc be diving and bobbing and weaving in and out of sound bites?
I'll probably lead them that way. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you can look forward to a pick six at six then, which we can get to you right now. We got on and off the field stuff to deal with. Let's hit it.
See, I wasn't even ready, Craig.
You forgot. It's been a long time since we did a pick six at six. Tell you what. Let's skip the intro, because if you can pull up the music at some point, great. But we're short on time and long on things to talk about. So, Phil Mendelson, the D.C. City Council chair, was on Grant and Danny earlier this afternoon. The full interview is worth your time. Search Grant and Danny wherever you get your podcast, and you can listen to that or rewind on the Odyssey app. But Mendelson was asked about where the timeline is, the president's comments, all kinds of stuff. And I thought, for in terms of the president's comments, he first said, like, this is a distraction. I don't know why we're talking about this. But where this becomes actually important, if the president of the United States wants to get involved in this, is, like, can he actually get involved in this? Here is Mendelson's understanding of, like, how seriously we take the president's social media threats, if we want to call them that, relative to what he can actually do about things.
Well, let's see. When we had Audi Field proposal before us, it was 7 months. And when we had the Nationals baseball stadium, if I remember correctly, that was over a year. I'm not saying that we need to take that much time. In fact, I have said repeatedly that we are working as quickly as possible to get to an agreement with the commanders. And I can't emphasize that enough, moving quickly. So the mayor had an announcement at the end of April, but then she took a month to send us the legislation. And when she sent us the legislation, we said, well, can you please give us the economic study that you did so we can understand the economics of this? And it took her another 2-3 weeks to get us that. That has not been the case with the commanders. Everything we've asked for from them, they've been very responsive and very prompt. The mayor forgot to ask for a tax abatement financial analysis. We asked for that. We're getting that, I believe, later this week. The council's, our budget office, has done an economic impact statement, which we will get this week. And just last week, we got the report from our consultant, the Robert Bob Group. These reports are useful to our understanding and the public understanding what the effects are and the benefits of this project, of the stadium. And getting all these reports in less than 2 months, I don't think that's dragging our feet, not even close.
Phil Mendelson, the city council chair, and also my bad on the bad toss there. I told Anthony to run a post and then threw a corner. So it's day one of training camp for everybody. Obviously there he's talking about the timelines compared to Audi Field, compared to Nats Park. And to Mendelson and the council's credit, like, all that stuff is legit. Like, they have moved fairly quickly here, but these things take time. Also, what I think is very evident in listening to Mendelson and listening to Bowser with Keim is these two sides of the city do not like each other, and they will take pot shots and trying to read through the pot shots of, well, the council's dragging their feet. Well, the mayor didn't give us the information. Like, it's very difficult to understand, like, who is telling the truth and how much the truth of that each is telling matters. But ultimately, like, if we're comparing it to the months that it's taken in the past, this process, if it wraps in the next couple of weeks, which Mendelson went out of his way to say the commanders have been outstanding partners and we feel like we're getting very close, they are on track to get what they need to get done. As for the news of the weekend, the president getting involved, here is what Mendelson had to say about that.
I think it's a stretch. Why do I think it's a stretch? First of all, under the Constitution, Congress is who has jurisdiction over the issues involving the district, not the president. Second of all, because the land has been transferred by Congress, so the president would have to go through Congress to undo that. Third of all, the National Capital Planning Commission, if it has a role, that would be sometime in the future, maybe next year, and it would be, I believe, just advisory site plan review. So People have been talking about these levers, but what I think is really going on is it's just a distraction. It's a distraction for the team, a distraction for us, and maybe a distraction for the president as well.
So the one thing I'll say about that is, from my understanding of, like, civics, he's correct. The president can't unilaterally, with an executive action, just undo this lease, although there has been some reporting that maybe he can. But I also don't know how much that matters, because this particular president and this particular Congress, if he says jump, they say how high. And again, like, I'm not here to talk politics of whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but, like, that's just the facts on the ground as we've seen them, is this Congress, specifically the House, but also the Senate, if the president says, like, jump, they go how high. And if he says, we're undoing this deal, and you've already seen some of his more ardent supporters, like, on social media talking about this, I think they would do that. Is that what Congress should spend its time doing? I talked about that yesterday. I don't particularly think so. On either side of this, whether it was, anything related to D.C., just, like, let us do our thing. But that's the state of play. The one thing that, like, if presidential politics get involved, could the team just be like, we're going to bail, go to Maryland? Maybe. Other than that, is Phil Mendelson worried about Maryland getting involved? Here he is on Grant and Danny.
Well, I don't want to be glib, but I think no. My answer is no. I believe that Governor Moore said a week ago he wasn't interested or wasn't talking to the commanders. But, you know, the commanders would have to start all over again if they were to go somewhere else. And we're pretty far down the road with our discussions. I mean, they reached a tentative agreement with the mayor, and then they've been in negotiations with my office, and we're very, very far down the road. So, no, I think that's interesting but unnecessary speculation. Again, we're moving quickly to try to get to an agreement.
So that's Phil Mendelson. If you want to hear more from him, check out his chat with Grant and Danny earlier today. Just search for that podcast in their feed wherever you get your podcasts. Logan Paulson breaks down what he sees on tape from Von Miller and how it could affect the rest of the Commanders' defensive line at 6:30. More on Adam Peters' thoughts on Von Miller and Dan Quinn's thoughts on Von Miller next in the back half of our Pick 6 at 6. But first, here on the Hoffman Show, the latest from the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you wanna. At Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches. All right, continuing our Pick 6 here on the Hoffman Show. Biggest Commander storylines of the day. The RFK Stadium situation continues to dominate the headlines. Phil Mendelson on Grant and Danny earlier. The other obvious big headline, we spent the first hour plus of our show on it, is Terry McLaurin has not reported to training camp. You want to hear what Adam Peters had to say about that? Go back to the hour one podcast of the show or rewind on the Odyssey app to 4:15, and we played the bites from Adam Peters then. But outside of McLaurin and outside of RFK, the biggest storyline, as we pick up with number four, is Von Miller. He is now in D.C. with the Commanders, signed yesterday, reported the whole deal. I think he's going to speak to the media on Thursday. Tomorrow, of course, a light day. Obviously, the next couple days are a big ramp up. But why Von Miller? Adam Peters has a long history with Miller, and here is what he had to say about the newly signed oldest player on the team, 36-year-old Von Miller.
Yeah, I think just in our conversations with DQ and myself and the staff, we did see, you know, pass rusher is something we still wanted to add throughout the time. During free agency, we looked to add a few guys and didn't work out. So, but we saved some you know, money aside, really, in order to do this and find out the best guy out there. And I've had a lot of history with Von and know the type of person he is. Obviously, his play speaks for himself. And when you turn on the tape from last year, I was like shocked to see how good he still was and how well he got off the ball and just what type of impact he had on the field. And knowing the type of impact he had in the locker room in Denver, and then, you know, getting unsolicited calls from the teams that he's been on since then talking about what a great guy he is, that really made it a really easy decision for us to bring him in. We brought him in a couple weeks ago, or I don't know been a few weeks now, but had a great meeting with him and just knew he was the right guy to bring in. So we were thrilled to have him.
So just real quick, a couple things on that. One, you'll hear more about our thoughts on Miller, the player, coming up at 6:30. Myself and Logan, we both watched some tape. I was pretty impressed with the tape that I watched. Like, he's not Von Miller of 2018, 2019. He's not going to go out and win Defensive Player of the Year, but like, he still has just a really innate know-how of how to do this. And I think that is something this team, I won't say desperately needed, but like, definitely did not have. They were going to have to try to make it work without that. Now they have it, and we'll see what he can do at the age of 36. On the character stuff, he's been a great teammate. That is very different football character, locker room character, than like how you are off the field. Peters was asked about the suspensions and domestic violence incidents that Miller has, and basically gave what I think is a pretty stock answer amongst executives across sports of like, we did our homework, we're comfortable with it. You know, what you hear in the news isn't always the full picture. And I would hope so, because the news reporting around the incident from 2023 for Miller is harrowing and horrifying. What he put his pregnant girlfriend through in assaulting her, what was reported in police reports at the time. Now, she recanted the story and has changed it. And sometimes, like, again, I don't need to go through a whole dissertation on domestic violence. If you're actually interested in that topic, like, I would highly recommend doing some more reading on it. You will learn a lot. And why I think it is easy to scoff at many of these statements often that executives make, and how the patterns develop and the permission structures develop for these incidents to happen and then be brushed aside, especially in the cases of particularly famous men. But they, like, all we can do is say, I hope that is true. I hope that when they looked into this, it was something that got blown out of proportion, that Von Miller hasn't done horrible things to his longtime girlfriend and the mother of his children, and that they're bringing an upstanding citizen into the community. So that is what it is. In terms of who he is in the locker room and what he is going to be around football, I have no doubts that he's awesome. You know, he has been a longtime mentor for a lot of other pass rushers in the league. So there definitely are very positive things to his character. It doesn't wipe away the other stuff. And we just have to hope that Adam Peters and the people that he employs to find out these types of things really are on the nose, that the truth is something that they can live with. And that's not because they're brushing it aside, but because it's different than what the initial reports were a couple of years ago. All right. Moving on, number five in our pick six at six. Miller, 36 years old, not helping the fact that the Commanders were one of the oldest teams in the league. In fact, that made them, locked them in as the oldest team in the league. Snap adjusted, before the Miller signing, they were like fourth or fifth in terms of you project the ages of players to play times their snap numbers. But still, definitely on the older side. So, Adam Peters, why'd you build an old team?
I'm sure there's a ton of factors that go into that, and there are a ton of factors that go into that. But, you know, I think really, you know, signing guys like you know, Bobby or Zach, those guys, I think we showed last year, you know, people thought we brought them in to be like coaches on the field, but certainly they are. They pass along a ton of knowledge, not just to the guys in their position group, but to guys across the whole defense or the offense. And Bobby and Jaden have a great relationship too, understanding and making each other better. But we saw with those guys, they're still really, really good players. And that goes the same for a guy like Vaughn. He's older, but he's still got a lot in the tank. So we're going to look for great players that fit us. And whether they're 22 or 35, if they can help us win, we're gonna bring them in.
You know, he was asked earlier in the press conference about like being win now, and I thought it was a good job by whoever asked the question. It was basically like, I know, I'm sure you hate this because you're trying to win every year. But Adam was basically like, yeah, we're just trying to win football games. Like, that is the point. That's why we're here. We hope the I don't know about a window. The window is open as long as we're here. Like, that's what we want. And the fact that they're able to accomplish that in year one, okay, cool. And I think the thing that's pretty magical about the way that they've done this is they haven't affected their long-term flexibility at all. They are still set up years from now to have a ton of ability to maneuver in free agency, acquire players via trade, etc. And then, obviously, I think the other thing that has to happen is you have to reacquire some draft picks, and you have to hit on a very high percentage of your draft picks. That's always how you have to build in the NFL. So definitely interesting stuff from Peters there. Last but not least, Dan Quinn, on what is actually the most important thing. Look, nothing else matters for the Commanders unless Jaden Daniels is at least as good as he was last year. You can be a lot better in a lot of other places, and if he regresses in a major way, then you're not going to be a double-digit win football team that's fighting for the playoffs. He is the key to everything. And that's a good thing because of who he is and the way that he works. Just ask his head coach.
I think more growth. And one thing I've learned over the year from Jaden, and there's no limits on him, you know, because this is somebody that absolutely is a savage from a work standpoint and just absolutely puts it in. So the skill work, the techniques, the knowledge of the offense, all of those things are going to be enhanced. And he's thrown himself an excellent offseason. We had a good conversation on the phone just the other night, chopping it up about the team, the summer, the offseason. And you can feel his energy. And just walking out here, you know, when you walk into our building, there's a lot of energy with our team. And he's right in the middle of all that. But I would never count him out or, you know, put him, mistake him for not doing anything other than absolutely emptying the tank to go for it.
Anthony, would you describe me as a savage in terms of my work ethic?
Yes, actually.
Oh, you would? Okay, good. I wasn't fishing for compliments. I was really fishing for a punchline to make a joke here, but I'll take that. That's all I need. I would like one day my boss or my coworkers to be like, that dude's a savage in terms of his work ethic. That's a high compliment. Especially in the world of professional football where there's a lot of dudes who work really hard. That's who you want to follow, is that guy.
He is.
Yeah. I think that is well documented at this point. Did you know he shows up at like 5:30 in the morning? All right. Yeah. So that's our pick six at six. Biggest, most important sound bites. You'll continue to hear those throughout the week, guided expertly by Linnell and Doc as training camp officially opens practice tomorrow out in Ashburn. When we get back, Von Miller, what do we expect based off the tape that we watched of him in Buffalo? Me, Logan, tell you next on the Team 980.